Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I am so excited to be with you this week, the seventh Sunday of Epiphany, as we move toward Lent. In Easter, those days are getting closer and closer. The year has flown by, and I'm so thankful to be on this lectionary journey with you. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's Old Testament lesson comes from the Psalms. We are in Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11, and then we will move to verses 39 and 40. See the foreshadowing and the words of hope that we find in this psalm. Hear now the word of the Lord. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us say together now the words of our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come together today to pray for our enemies, to pray for the ones that do us harm, that they ultimately will see your light and love shining brightly in and through us, so that their darkness may be overcome by your light. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear now the words of the gospel lesson for today. We remain in Luke chapter 6. We are in verses 27 through 38. Hear now the word of the Lord. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, I lost my place. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that for you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, this week, this lesson is not one that I wanted to hear. It's one I needed to hear. May it be so for others. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Look, no disrespect to Jesus, but I'm tired of turning the other cheek. My cheeks hurt. My cheeks are red and chapped, both of them. I never thought that I would get slapped around so much by people, especially those that I thought were friends. I get slapped around for my gender, my job, and my religion, just to name a few things. But here we are, folks. I did not want to write this sermon this week. I know as a preacher, I'm supposed to tell you to live as Jesus did, but it's not always what I want to do myself. It's draining and hard and tiring, and it makes my cheeks hurt. Ultimately, Jesus did more than just turn the other cheek. He gave His life for us. He let His enemies put Him on the cross. He did it willingly. If He can do that, the least I can do is be kind to my enemies. The least we can do is be kind to those who hate us, those who mistreat us. But these days, it's hard for me to say those things and mean them with my whole heart. I mean, I know it's what we're called to do. And don't get me wrong, I want to do it. But the reality of life outside of these walls is not very nice these days. And Jesus doesn't let it go either. He talks not only of loving our enemies and turning the other cheek, but He keeps going. That pesky golden rule, being merciful and not judging, are right here together just to drive home the point. But He doesn't know how bad it is right now. He doesn't know how much people hurt each other emotionally and even physically sometimes. How can we love those who do not like us, but seek us out to do us harm? He doesn't realize for us mere mortals that it is exhausting to work to feel safe some days. But the truth is, He does know. He understands. He tells us all of these things to help us and to show us the way of the righteous. And just when I'm feeling bad for myself, I'm reminded that there are whole groups of people who have lived this way with these feelings at the margins with only Jesus on their side for centuries. There are people who have had enemies who owned them. There are people who have been surrounded by those who persecute and hate them in prison camps in Germany and in slave quarters in the South. They survived. Maybe I can too. What lessons can we learn from them, from Jesus, from our own scars that have healed as we have learned to love those who do not show us love? I don't know if y'all have guessed it yet, but I love the written word. I love poetry and I love letters. I love reading firsthand accounts of history through the writings of the time. One place I find those is a Substack account called Letters of Note. They print historical letters and excerpts from a wide variety of places. The first letter I ever read on the site was for my New Testament class. The letter is one of my favorites and is the perfect reflection of how Jesus calls us to love those who persecute us, but doesn't necessarily call us to remain victims of hate. He calls us to show mercy and a different way of living. Jordan Anderson and his wife Mandy were freed from slavery by the Union Army after serving 32 years on a plantation in Tennessee. They moved to Ohio in 1864, and in 1865, Jordan received a letter from his former master, Colonel P.H. Anderson, asking him to return to Tennessee to work on the plantation where he was formerly enslaved. Here are some excerpts from his response. Dayton, Ohio, August 7th, 1865. To my old master, Colonel P.H. Anderson, Big Spring, Tennessee. Sir, I got your letter and was glad to find that you had not forgotten Jordan and that you wanted me to come back and live with you again, promising to do better for me than anybody else can. I have often felt uneasy about you. I thought the Yankees would have hung you long before this for harboring Rebs they found at your house. I suppose they never heard about you going to Colonel Martin's to kill the Union soldier that was left by his company in their stable. Although you shot at me twice before I left you, I did not want to hear of your being hurt. And I'm glad you're still living. I would have gone back to see you all when I was working at the Nashville Hospital, but one of the neighbors told me that Henry intended to shoot me if he ever got a chance. If there ever was a definition of loving from afar, this would be it. While there is much sarcasm to be had in the letter, there's also kindness. Even though the colonel tried to kill him, he does not wish him ill. Jordan goes on and speaks of his faith and all of the time he and his family spend in church and in prayer. He's been praying for his enemy. I'm sure the colonel was not easy to pray for. If Jordan can do it, I think I can too. The letter continues. Mandy says she would be afraid to go back without some proof that you were disposed to treat us justly and kindly, and we have concluded to test your sincerity by asking you to send us our wages from the time we served you. This will make us forget and forgive old scores and rely on your justice and friendship in the future. I served you faithfully for 32 years. And Mandy, 20 years. At $25 a month for me and $2 a week for Mandy, our earnings would amount to $11,680. Add to this the interest for the time our wages have been kept back, and deduct what you paid for our clothing and three doctor's visits to me and pulling a tooth for Mandy. And the balance will show what we are in justice entitled to. Please send the money by Adams Express in care of V. Winters, Esquire, Dayton, Ohio. If you've failed to pay for faithful labors in the past, we can have little faith in your promise in the future. We trust the good Maker has opened your eyes to the wrongs which you and your fathers have done to me and my fathers in making us toil for you for generations without recompense. Here I draw my wages every Saturday night, but in Tennessee, there was never a payday for the Negroes any more than for the horses and cows. Surely there will be a day of reckoning for those who defraud the labor of his hire. Turning the other cheek does not mean remaining a victim of hatred. It does now not mean allowing people to hurt you continually. It means we love people. We pray for them. And we are fair to them even when they are not fair to us. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel better about my cheeks. Jesus doesn't say to remain in or return to harmful situations. Jesus says to love until it hurts. Love and love and love some more. We have to forgive and love and be patient with those who intend to do us harm. Sometimes, the one we have to love and forgive is the one that is looking back at us in the mirror. Sometimes, even when we don't mean to, we are the ones that do harm. Forgiving ourselves means we have to admit that we are all fallible, that we are all in need of love and kindness, that we all fall short and need forgiveness and care. Forgiving ourselves is often harder than forgiving our enemies. Have you ever heard the saying, hurt people hurt people? The only way to heal the hurt and keep more evil and hatred from spreading is to stop that original hurt. That is what we are called to do. Love the hurt people, including ourselves, until we quit hurting others. All of these lessons are sometimes easier said than done, but do them we must. How much change could we cause in the world if we just love people, especially those who are unloved and feel unlovable? If we all lived by the golden rule, if we all learned from the time when we did harm, if we all learned to forgive and love and care for others, for each other, instead of doing harm and causing pain, then there would be no need for the turning of any cheeks at all. Our cheeks would be rosy and full from laughter and love instead of chapped from being turned and hurt. What a wonderful world that would be. So yeah, Jesus is right. No matter how much I avoided writing the sermon this week, he is still right. No matter how tired I am of being ridiculed, no matter how much I beat myself up, no matter how tired I am of what's happening on the news, no matter how chapped my cheeks are, I am called to love. I'm called to show love even when it hurts. Because that is sometimes the only way that people can truly see the love of God reflected in me. This is one of those weeks where I needed the lesson more than anyone that will hear it. I'm glad I heard it. I'm thankful for the reminder. I had to forgive myself for a few things. And I need to love the people in my life, even the ones that need some boundaries. Sometimes the boundaries are where we love the best. Jordan set some pretty clear boundaries with the colonel because he loved his family and was trying to love the one that was his enemy. He set those boundaries pretty strictly. Wonder if the colonel got the hint. If not, I bet he gets it in the end. Love your neighbor. Turn the other cheek. Love the people who do you harm so they may one day quit doing harm at all. The letter ends this way. P.S. Say howdy to George Carter and thank him for taking the pistol from you when you were shooting at me. From your old servant, Jordan Anderson. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Amen. It's a tough lesson this week. One that's sometimes hard to hear, but one that we need to hear. Love everyone, even the ones that don't love us back. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.